Well, thank you, Harold. Thank you so much, Pancash. Well, well, well. How are we doing out there? All right, come on. I'm just going to bring that over here because I reckon we got to be in the middle. Is that okay, Pancash? I don't want to upset the processes and procedures, but if that's all right, that'd be great. Praise God. Well, we've got a bunch of folks away today. It's always interesting on Mother's Day because we get mums visiting their kids and their grandkids, and then we get people going off to be with their mums in different churches, and that's all good with me. If you're here today as a visitor, thank you so much for coming and choosing us, and we pray that you just feel relaxed and welcomed and just feel the presence of God and the love through other human beings. Amen. Which mums are here today visiting? This is not your church home, but you've come to visit and be with your kids and maybe your grandchildren. Can I get you to give me a wave? I know we've got Pastor Weyoung's mother here, Ruth EU. Welcome, Ruth. Anybody else? Hey, welcome, Marley's mother. Bless you. I think you, yeah. We see these ladies two or three times a year, which you know is often more than many of our church members. Oh, praise God. Well, some awkward coughing going on. Praise God. We love to have these grandmothers and these mothers. We believe church is family. It's never a meeting. It's about family. It's about God and new people. If you're listening to the last Sunday's sermon, it's about always having room at the table for more people. Praise God. Cool bananas. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? Now turn to the other neighbor who you don't really like as much and say, ni hao. Ni hao. Ni hao, are you doing? I'm a fully informed cultural expert. That is the greeting of China. Praise God. A nice kind of awkward, bumpy segue into welcoming to the stage very soon a special young lady by the name of Grace Han. Yeah, stay right there, Grace. Or sometimes she's known as Grace Zhang. Okay, culturally things get done differently around the world. And so, but Grace is a daughter in this church. She's a daughter to Chrissy and I. She's a daughter to Brian and Nikki, to Judy and David. And that's right, I think you've got your own biological parents too. That's right, I forget about that. We met her, we knew her. She was here as a single international student. Met her single international student husband, now husband, the hunk, who made Mr. January in the China GQ calendar. And we married them, and now they've got two baby girls, 100% made in China. It's fantastic. And they live here. Grace is a part of our leadership team. Hey, Jeremy. Oh, he's going to sneak in and try and catch a glimpse of his bride. And Grace is an accountant. She's on our financial board. So she makes sure everything is, you know? Yeah. And it's good. It's really good. And she's also on our Ministry of Partnership Development Board. So thank you, Grace, for her service. And thank you. I'll say it now. Thank you for saying yes to today. I asked her, because we've not heard her for a very long time, many years, back to the rugby club. And she's a brilliant speaker, very funny. And but I thought, wow, silly old me, I didn't remember. It's Mother's Day, right? She probably just wants to relax and enjoy her children and kind of come into church, you know, after a big brekkie. And I know she's also got a lot going down with house sales and transitions and packing up. And so she had a lot of reasons to say no, but she said yes. And I'm so glad about that. Praise God. So I know you're in for a great treat. She's a wonderful leader and person. Can we all give a great round of applause and welcome to the stage, Grace Han.
Woo! Am I on? Can you hear me? Do I look like a Secret Service? Well, thank you so much, Pastor Rachel, for the introduction. I am so honored to be standing here. I just feel really humbled. I came to this church about 16 years ago as a brand new Christian, empty-headed and ignorant. Didn't know anything. Thought I knew everything, but clearly not. But a lot of people sitting in this room pour their heart and love into me. And I'm standing here because this is a miracle. And you know, I also want to honor my Kiwi parents, Judy and David, sitting right there. They are the first ever Christian people, that God has put into my life. I know for a fact that they prayed for this stubborn person for years and years before I even consider stepping into a church. So because of people like them, I'm now standing here, and my children are currently attending Kids Church, learning about God's love from such a young age. I'm thankful, and you know, you never know who you're impacting. And just, you know, very thankful before I lose my track. What am I gonna talk about? Okay, my husband and I, we're the first generation Christians in our family. I'm the first person to ever get saved in my own family. Together, we're turning this ship towards its right direction. Yeah. So, happy Mother's Day. I can't believe 365 days, so we only get one. But never mind. I got this quote on the internet. I hope this encourages you. You know, we do the daily things, and you think, what am I even doing? But God sees what you're doing. Don't ever go weary in doing good. So I hope that today the dads and the children, make sure you pamper your mom. There was a woman. She met a homeless woman on the street. The homeless woman said, "Could I please have some money to buy some food?" She said, "Of course I'll give you some money. But if I give you money, are you going to buy some clothes?" She said, "No, I'm not going to buy clothes. I want to buy food." And she said, "Okay, if I give you some money, are you going to get some makeup?" She said, "No, I'm not going to buy makeup. I'm hungry. I want to buy some food." She said, "Okay, if I give you some money, are you going to get your hair done?" She said, "No, I'm not going to get my hair done. I want to buy some food." She said, "You know what? I have another idea. Well, I want you to come with me to my home tonight and have dinner with my husband." The homeless woman said, "Are you sure? You know, I don't look very nice. I smell a little." And she said, "Yes, I'm sure. I just want my husband to see what it looks like if you don't get your hair done, don't buy clothes, and don't put makeup on." This takes a lot of work, guys. It's not easy. So before I start, I want to introduce to you my family. Pastor Richard already sort of introduced a little bit. This is my husband, Jeremy. We met in this church, actually, we've been married 11 years. We have two girls. There's Kayla, she's 2, and Zoe, she's 5, whom you'll be hearing quite a bit today, as I have some stories to tell, as I think she's hilarious. So I came from China. I've been living here for about 19 years. When Pastor Richard asked me to talk, I thought, great, it's about time that I can get the microphone and say some record straight about Chinese. You know, our national language, the one and only, the language that dates back to about 2,000 years, that we found our ancestors carved on turtle shells, on rocks. The greatest language, I think, in the world is not a piece of fruit. Okay? Whoever came up with the name of Mandarin is beyond me. Why, oh why? So as you do, I went on Google and I tried to sort of find an answer to comfort my little heart. Why do we call it Mandarin? This is Chinese, just call it Chinese, why call it Mandarin? So apparently, I found one answer that kind of I can accept, that this word may have came from a Portuguese origin, which means one who commands. So okay, fine, I can deal with that. But let me just tell you that Mandarin is the official language of China, and Cantonese is a dialect, not a separate language. After today, if you go up to a Chinese person and say, so which language do you speak, Mandarin or Cantonese? No. Cantonese is not a language. It's like the Irish accent, guys, to English. Are we all clear? Okay, now I can finally stop. So I want you to all imagine with me today, you get a phone call. So Air New Zealand you won a prize from Air New Zealand. They're going to pay for you to fly to China for a free holiday, you and your family. Everything paid for, airfare and accommodation. And you can choose wherever you want to go visit in China. What are the few places that straight away come up into your mind? So is this perhaps one of these? Look at Jeremy, how young! I'm sorry, I couldn't find any decent photo of us on the Great Wall, it's tragic. So this is, as we all know, the Great Wall of China. It was built and rebuilt continuously over a 2,000-year period across the whole ancient east-to-west border of China. Throughout the history, over 15 dynasties, the kings placed huge emphasis and efforts on maintaining and extending this particular wall. The remains of the Great Wall today goes across 16 of the 34 provinces in China. I want you to keep this image in your head for now, and we'll come back to it later. So Pastor Richard rang me in, I think, January and asked me to speak today. After I picked myself up from the floor, from the shock, And I felt like, God, is this your idea? If this is your idea, then please tell me. So I was praying about what should I talk about today? And I felt that he asked me this question. What is the single most challenging thing for you since you became a mom? And, you know, I thought, you have to ask? Let me just name a few. How, number one, the top priority. How to formulate a strategy to get maximum amount of sleep. The art of patience. How to prioritize your family so you say no to other more exciting things. And how not to compare yourself to others. This is a biggie. Or not comparing your children to other children. And know who you are in Christ and be happy about it. So there's just a few, but then I felt like, yes, there are some things that are challenging for me on a daily basis, but I felt like I keep coming back to this one, which is what I'm going to talk about today, which is every day I'm seemingly doing the mundane tasks, the daily grind of being a mother of two young kids. Now, I know all you single people there, and people who don't have kids at home, please don't switch off. I really feel that this message could apply to anyone. You know, we at some point in life, we all go through the boring stage, and am I even achieving anything? Please don't switch off, listen. I my daily life as a mom, I can pretty much tell you what I do straight away, and every day is the same. So in the morning, my kids get up. I make them breakfast. I make their lunch boxes. I then clean up after them. I sweep the floor. I get them dressed and washed up and somewhat presentable. I drop Zoe to school. I come home. I take Kayla to gymnastic class. I then make Kayla lunch and I clean up. And then I put Kayla to sleep. Then she wakes up. Then we go on to pick up Zoe from school. Then I take Zoe to swimming class. After swimming class, we go home and we play. And then, it's dinner time. So then I make dinner. I feed them dinner. I clean up after dinner. I swept the floor yet again. And then we play after dinner. Then it's bedtime. And all the parents out there know that bedtime in itself, oh my gosh, the things that we have to do to put them to sleep is a feast in itself. And then after they both finally sweetly tucked into bed, we say goodnight, close the door, and all the parents, what do? We collapse on the couch. I said to my husband someday, don't talk to me. I don't want to know. Don't ask me any questions, okay? My answer is, I don't want to talk. Just leave me alone. And so, you know, before kids, I had a career, guys. I had a somewhat reputable job. I was working for this awesome, phenomenal Kiwi company, and, you know, climbing the corporate ladder, and I was part of a great team. I felt I was achieving a lot. And then on days, I just feel like, God, what am I doing? I give up this for, you know, on the day I went into my office after my maternity leave was up, I went in and I resigned. I'm not a crier, really, guys. I really rarely cry. I walked out of the building and I cried because it suddenly dawned on me what I'm giving up on becoming a full-time mom. And then on challenging days, I would say, I ask myself, so I give up that for this? Really? So today I want you to hear my stories so that I am currently still in this mundane season, and I want to share a bit about how I combat these feelings of feeling insignificant. So that's why I've titled today's message Simply Significant. You know, in the mundane season, I thought about it and I found that there are three things that really helped me. Number one is that do not run on empty. I feel that whenever I'm running on empty, my children and my husband suffer. I am very easily, I just lose it. You know, a little thing that on the other days that you're better than today, it's nothing. But then when you're running on empty, you've drained yourself and you have nothing more to give, then you tend to lose your temper and you don't have much patience. And this is what I call a danger zone. I want to stay away from it as far as possible. So what do? We replenish ourselves with the word of God, with prayers, and with thanksgiving. Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of the Lord depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. And I also find memorizing Bible verses really help, so that you readily have weapon to combat, you know. So like going into war, you can't go in without your weapon. From my Zoe, so she's currently 5, from when she was about 3 years old, I started to teach her memory verses. So parents, I'll give you a free tip. If you are going to make into the effort of letting them memorize Bible verses, you might as well let them do the ones that you can use against them. Because why not? I'm just saying, fruit of the Spirit, you know, do not complain, or the Ten Commandments, they're all good ones. So then one day I found this backfired on me somewhat. So my mom was visiting. She lives in China, but she comes and sees us from time to time. One night after dinner, Zoe said, oh, Mom, can I go down to Grandma's room and play? I said, sure, yeah, off you go. So the next day, Mom came up and said, so you know, last night in my room when Zoe came, she found the brownie you bought for me. My mom has a real sweet tooth, so I bought her this brownie and she didn't finish, put it in her room, and then sure enough, Zoe found it. So she said, she asked me if she could have it. Of course, what a loving grandmother would deny a child a brownie. So she said, did she tell you last night when she came upstairs? I said, no, she didn't mention at all. She said, okay, when she comes back from kindy today, you ask her, see what she says. So here comes Zoe after school. I said, oh, so Zoe, last night you went to grandma's room and play. What did you guys actually do? She said, oh, you know, she played with me a little bit. And I said, oh, okay, so after you guys played, and then what happened? She said, oh, and then we had a chat. I said, oh, fine, had a chat. And then what happened? She said, oh, then I heard you say, Zoe, it's time to go to bed. So then I hurry up, I came up the stairs, and I went to bed. I said, okay. So, you know, in between the time that you had a chat with grandma, me calling, Zoe, it's time to go to bed, did anything else happen? She was rolling her little eyes. No, nothing. And I said, oh, true. So did anything particularly tasty ever enter your mouth? And so then I could see, you know, the children's face. If you're a parent, you know the instant guilt. Oh, I got caught. So she said, I said, did you have some brownie? She said, yes, I did. She said, did grandma tell you? I said, oh, I was like, no, I was not about to burn my sauces. I said, instantly, I said, no, she didn't tell me. I saw you eating it. So she said, I said, what do you have to say to me now? She goes, I'm so sorry for lying. And then off she went. So she took two steps, and then she came back. She said, Mom, you need to say sorry to me. I said, okay, you just got caught lying, and now I have to say sorry? Okay, why? Why do I have to say sorry? She said, because you lied. You never saw me eating the brownie, and the Bible says you cannot lie. She was four. Pray for me, guys. And, you know, another thing I found that when I am running on empty is that I'm more easily to step into the enemy's traps. The things that he say to me, I'm more easily to believe his side of the story rather than the truth. I'm sure that only happens in our household, but you know, I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and they're constantly fighting. So they're fighting at home, they're fighting in the car, they're fighting outside, and then recently I said, you know what, guys, I can't deal with this fighting in the car. It's such a small space. I'm focusing on how to drive safely, and you guys are bickering on the background. One will say, look, there's a playground. The other one says, that's not a playground, that's a school. No, that's a playground. That's a school. Mommy, tell her that's a school, not a playground. And stop it, and you stop it first. And so I said, guys, I can't deal with this anymore. It's a small space, okay? You know what, from now on, if you guys start fighting, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull over and you both get out of the car, you walk home. And so, sure enough, one day, not even, didn't take them that long, started fighting again. So what did I do? I pretend, I pull over and pull the handbrake to the parking spot and do the handbrake and about to open the door. And then I said, you know what, guys, I've had enough. You guys always fighting. And then they were like, little mouse tip, I'm so sorry, Mom, I'm not gonna fight. I'm so sorry, I don't wanna walk home. So what did I just do, guys, parents? It was an empty threat. Was I gonna let my kids walk home? No! But you know, that's what the enemy does to us. He does empty threats. Yes. And unlike my children, we know better. All you need to do is tell him to shh. Psalm 144:2, he's my shelter of love and my fortress of faith. Who wraps himself around me as a secure shield? I hide myself in this one who subdues enemies before me. And the second thing that I find helpful in the season of the daily grind is obeying the voice of God. You know, the fact that we can talk to God and he talks to us makes our faith a very unique one. In the Old Testament, the Israelites are being distinguished from all the other people because they can hear God's voice. And in 1 Corinthians 12:2, Apostle Paul said, basically, the difference between a relationship we have with the one true God and the relationship pagans have with their idols is that their gods are speechless. They can't talk. He desires to talk to us. But then the million-dollar question is, would you listen to him and obey? I will tell you the story. So my daughter Zoe, she is what we call a strong-willed child. And so if you know one, then you know one. They have the will of the iron, and they will not bend down to anybody, especially their own mother. So when she was about 3.5, I say, to about 4.5, we've had quite a difficult time in raising her. Every day, she couldn't take no for an answer. Anything. Just, no, I will not do it. I will do what I want to do. And so that was a very testing time for me. And I unfortunately lost it quite a bit. So I tried everything. I've done, growing His God's way. I know the principles and the methods, but then when at the end of the day, when you're feeling so defeated and nothing seems to be working, what did I do? I just did the yelling. That seemed like the logical next approach. So I did a lot of yelling and a lot of anger-driven yelling. So one day, in my quiet time, God convicted me about my fits of anger. And he said, you know, fits of anger is one of the things that the Bible says is not pleasing him. He said that this is not pleasing me. So I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I felt really convicted. So I decided, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to yell at my kids anymore. I don't want them to feel that whenever something happens, mom always just yells. And so I said, please help me. So, you know, when you ask for help, he gives you the help. But then are you going to follow him? So one day, Zoe had another episode of tantrums, and she was being really just terrible. So you know how sometimes you do stuff, even the action only happens in like a split second, but in your head, you could see yourself in slow motion. Have you ever experienced that? So this is one of those days. I put her to the timeout spot, and I felt like that was not enough. I felt like this yellingness was about to come out. So in my head, I was like, and my mouth started to open. And I was about the high-pitched voice, I was about to come out of my mouth. And then I heard this voice. He said, don't do it. And I took another step towards the wrong direction. And then, you know how in your head you argue with God? I do that all the time, or maybe it's just me. And he said, don't do it a second time. I said, no, I have to do it. She is so infuriating. And no, I can't control myself. And then, blah, I unleashed. So after I yelled at my Zoe, and then I felt terrible. The look on her face was terrible. So I felt really guilty. And then that evening, you know, I usually have good sleep whenever I can get sleep. Yay, let's sleep. But that evening, I couldn't sleep. I was tossing in my bed. And then just the image of Zoe's face kept on playing in front of me. And I was riddled with guilt. I know that I dropped the ball. I shouldn't have never done that. Then I heard his voice. He said, so, was it worth it? And I said, no, it was not worth it. So, you know, it's better if we just obey him, really. He makes our life easier. You think he's making your life difficult, but he's not. He really is not. And John 10:27, My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Number three, find time to have some laugh. Find a good laugh. You know, I'm standing here telling you these stories of my kids. At the time, they were not funny. They really were. It was not funny. I was crying sometimes. And but I choose to tell them because then if that can make you laugh and learn from my mistakes, then why not? Have some fun. It's okay to laugh a little. Jesus died on the cross so we can have a life, not just a life, but a life in its fullness. You know, most children can laugh on average about 400 times, when most adults can only manage about 15 a day. And in Proverbs, it says, cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You know, in the old days, I remember, we used to give out church bulletins. Do you remember? A paper with notices. And so then sometimes there will be mistakes printed on the bulletin. For example, ladies, don't forget the jumble sale. It's a chance to get rid of the things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. On Sunday, a special collection will be taken to defray the expenses of the new carpet. All those wishing to do something on the new carpet, please come forward and get a piece of paper at the end of the service. The service will close with little drops of water. One of the ladies will start quietly, and the rest of the congregation can join in. You know, some churches have like signs on the side of the road telling you what their sermons are about. And so this particular church, they have two services, morning and evening. The morning sermon title was Jesus Walks on Water. The evening sermon title, Searching for Jesus. You know, choose to have a positive attitude towards life. Is make a decision. This is my mantra. If I have a problem, I either go try my very best to fix it. I want to try my best. And if I can't fix the situation, then I will change the way I think about the situation. What's the point in sitting here and being sad? Oh, I have a strong-willed child. You know, I used to do that. When I first realized that she's one of those. I said, God, why me? Give me, I'm actually, my husband and I both, if you know us, I consider myself and him quite a laid-back person. Am I really? Why do I have a highly strong child? I don't get it. Where did she get it from? You know what? I found where she got it from, my mother. Really, they're so similar, it's scary. And so, you know, I used to complain. I said, God, why me? You know, there's so many lovely ladies out there. Choose them. Let me have an easy one. I'm sweet. I'm a naturally sweet person. I don't want to be yelling all the time. And you know, it's not fair. And then one day God said to me, I chose you for this job because I know you can do it. Stop complaining about it. And you're raising, apparently I'm raising a leader. But just can someone else do it? But you know, he said, she, you're the right person for the right job. You're a mom to this child for a reason. He chose you. It's not an accident. I can do it. If I can do it, you all can do it. So earlier I asked you to keep the image of the Great Wall in your mind. This wall was constructed purely by manual labor. It was laid by people brick by brick, day and night. Do you think the people at the time would be jumping up and down with joy, saying, hey, look at me, I have the most exciting job in the whole of China? Not. You know, and they probably, do you think, they think, oh man, I'm changing the history. I'm making a monumental thing that people are going to celebrate later. Not really, eh? I don't want to do that job. And so, but do you think that if at the time someone had shown them this blueprint of this Great Wall, what it would become? That told them that this building or structure is going to be the world's best defense system in the ancient world. Or that one day this could be the symbol of this great country. Or millions of people would come and pay money and travel far away to visit this wall. Do you think their opinion may have changed a little bit? You know, aren't you thankful that our God has the blueprint of our life? He has shown you. He's told you many times in the Bible, His plans are good for you, for you, not against you. And I don't need to tell you in the Bible, you know, there are so many stories of ordinary people doing their daily tasks, really simple tasks. But then one day, suddenly, by God's grace, they changed. They turned into heroes of our faith. He does that on a constant basis. Look at Esther, a simple Jewish girl. One day, suddenly got chosen to become the queen. And then after that, saving the entire Jewish race. David, a shepherd boy, just have a pure heart to love God. On an ordinary day, he was tending his flock and got handpicked by the prophet Samuel to become the next king of Israel. Ruth, a widow, she was simply just having a kind heart, going above and beyond, looking after her mother-in-law. And God turned her life around, and now she is in the lineage of Christ. Peter, an uneducated fisherman. In the old days, in that time, people, they don't have much stature in the society. He got called by Jesus and became fisher of men. And the list goes on. You know, on Friday, just 2 days ago, I went the school that Zoe goes to, they had a Mother's Day assembly. All these little kids are so cute. And they went up the stage and sang songs and did a little dance. And so one of the items that was produced by year two, the six-year-olds, was the teacher made a video asking each and every single person in the class, why do you love your mom? So I think we did one of those in Kids Church. I remember it because I was a brand new mom and listening to the little kids' innocent voices. I love my mom because it just made me cry. I bore my eyes out. Again, I'm not a crier, and you know. So these little kids, they all shared about why they love their mom. And what did I hear in the video? One said, I love my mom because she makes yummy food. I love my mom because she washes my clothes and makes my uniform smell so nice. I love my mom because she makes my lunch boxes. I love my mom because she gives me cuddles and kisses. I love my mom because at night she brushes my teeth and puts me to bed. You know, what I didn't hear in the video was, oh, I love my mom because she's a CEO. Or, I love my mom because she can stand here on a Sunday and talk to you about a message. Or, I love my mom because she runs a successful business. Or, I love my mom because she makes a lot of money. I didn't hear any of that. And the ordinary things that you're doing are not meaningless. They are not insignificant. In God's eyes, they are actually very significant because you're building something. Sometimes when you probably might not be able to tell what it is eventually going to be, but staying in this season and be faithful, it means a lot. So today I want to ask you, what are you building in this season? Are you like me, raising some young kids, trying to build a future for your family? Or are you trying to create a more solid and intimate relationship with God? Or are you perhaps trying to build a financial future for your family? Maybe you want to start a business one day, but you've got to do the daily grind now, and it seems really boring. Or maybe perhaps in the future you want to buy a house. What are you building? And I hope my heart today is that I hope this message can encourage you in some way. like me, I'm not out of it yet. I'm still here. If you see me yelling at my kids next Sunday, that means I haven't been reading my Bible. Anyway, so and can I pray for you? Lord, I thank you that you are a faithful God. Your ways are much higher than ours. I thank you that our light, you are our light and our salvation. You're the stronghold of our lives, and whom shall we be afraid? Lord, I pray that for my sisters and brothers who are currently, like me, going through a season of the mundane. They are being faithful of doing the every task that you set before us. Lord, fill us with your joy. Help us to always keep you in the center so we never run dry. Help us all not to only stay tuned to your voice, but we also choose to obey it. We're confident and secure in you alone, for you are our rock and refuge, a very present help in trouble. We thank you that when we keep our eyes on you, you give us courage, strength, and peace. You are bigger than we will ever stretch our faith to conceive. I am so glad that you are the one who is holding the blueprint of our lives. May everyone here today feel encouraged and empowered by your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.